This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Give thanks to Ed Pittman, afternoon reflux every day until 5 o'clock, but it's time for Love in the 21st Century, made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, cross-country skiing, camping, and just enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is located in downtown Chico at 176 East 3rd Street. Their telephone number is 345-5011.
You're listening to Love in the 21st Century on KZFR. Today, we are talking with Jasia Cornwise and Lorna Kingdom about love and the body. So we are tackling the topic of what it is to use the body to connect with self-love. We'll talk more about that when we come back here, but right now you're listening to Tina Turner's What's Love Got to Do With It? Love in the 21st Century. I am Emily Rose, and our hosts here are Julian Ruck.
Hello again.
And Tammy Wichman will be joining us on the phone today. Today we are talking with Jasia Cornwise.
Hello there.
And Lorna Kingdom.
Hi.
Yes, and they are here to discuss love and the body with us. We are tackling the topic of love and the body from a different angle today. Rather than thinking about it as how to love the body through health and wellness, we're talking about it in the sense of how to connect with the spirit through the body, how to connect with one's self-love and self-acceptance, which kind of is the foundation for all love. Through the body, using the body as a conduit for connection. So Jasia is here with us today, and Lorna's here, and both of these ladies are connected to Five Rhythms, Gabrielle Roth's Five Rhythms Dance. Jasia's been teaching, I'll let her talk about herself and in just a moment here, and Lorna will then introduce herself, and both of them have different experiences with Five Rhythms, and yet there is some overlap, so we'll get into that in a moment. Jasia, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you are, or who you are, what you do, what you are, all of it.
I am human. Oh, let's see. So I teach, I have a practice called the Rhythms of Acceptance, www.rhythmsofacceptance.com. And I do a number of things here in Chico. I was certified by Gabrielle Roth about 15 years ago to teach the Five Rhythms practice. And before that, I had been teaching my own thing called Acceptance. And I also work as a spiritual embodiment coach and counselor. And so I've combined a lot of different things and offer those here in town. And Lorna, just for a moment, has been practicing here as one of my students and fellow travelers in this world of the Five Rhythms practice.
So how long have you been practicing and teaching altogether?
Practicing? I've been practicing the practice probably since I was 19. I've been teaching here in Chico for 15 years, and I've been teaching in general for 23 years.
Wow. And Lorna, about how many times have you taken a Five Rhythms dance class, not just with Jasia, but all together?
Probably close to 50.
Wow. So these ladies are incredibly experienced with five rhythms, which we're going to learn about here in just a moment. But I do want to mention that Tammy is on air with us right now. Hi, Tammy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Tammy.
Welcome from wherever you may be. I also wanted to express that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, or underwriters. And that being said, the opinions on this program reflect my opinion, I would say. Something like that, right?
Yeah. Sounds good.
I'll take
own
that
it,
on.
Girl.
Yeah, I'm owning it. Hi, Tammy. You want to say hi to Jessia?
I'm so happy to be joining you guys. This is a new experience for me falling in. But, yeah, I'm so happy, Jessia and Lorna, that you could be on the show and share the five rhythms with our audience.
Yes, thank you.
Hello, Tammy.
Okay, so, Jessia, tell us a little bit about what the five rhythms is. At its very foundation, what is this five rhythms?
It is a movement meditation practice. And it is more than teaching a dance. It actually teaches people how to listen really deeply to what's moving inside them. There's a format and a way. There's the rhythm of flowing, which helps us to get into our receptivity, our listening to our body. It asks us to slow down and really tune into the information, the gravity, the weight, and that comes through our bodies. And it's the rhythm that's connected with the earth, and it actually has even a developmental stage where it looks at the issues that get imprinted from womb to early infancy. And then there's the rhythm of staccato, which is the next of the five rhythms, flowing, staccato, chaos, lyrical, and stillness. So staccato works with the inner masculine, as opposed to the flowing works with the inner feminine, and it's the active principle. And it works through the heart. It helps us work with setting our boundaries, expressing our emotions, looking at what's clogged in the heart and freeing it up. Our joy, our grief, our sadness, our pain, our yeses, our noes, our ability to be big and shine, our ability to experience whatever we're feeling. And we learn those things as a developmental phase that goes with that in our childhood. And we get imprints from our parents, from their parents, from society, about what we personally take on. And every kid comes through the family with different historical things. And part of the work is to free up our hearts so that we actually learn what we took on and inherited and what we can release, what we want to keep carrying with us, the goodies that we got, and then open to the things we want to have so we can expand. And that music works us through our hearts and a rhythmic beat. It's a lot of the beats you'll hear, like when you hear African music or
Hip-hop,
yeah. Very staccato beats,
yeah.
Exactly.
Sound dirty.
Yep. A lot of the thrusts and the arms and the shooting forth energy.
So that's that was staccato.
Staccato.
So we started with flowing, which
yes.
is the first of the five rhythms connected with the feminine.
Yes.
And then we went to staccato, which is the second of the five rhythms connected with the masculine.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then we come up to the rhythm of chaos, which is this integration where we do this interplay where we start to have to work with learning about how our inner feminine, inner masculine relate. It's the rhythm where our mind has to release its stories, its false identities, its beliefs, its shoulds, its shouldn'ts. It's all the polarity we have. And in theory, we can't really have a healthy relationship with another until we have our own inner masculine and feminine working together. Because if they're battling and in conflict, it's already a war. And then to get someone else's, and you got four chattering with each other.
And apparently you have to go through chaos to get these things to talk to another, huh?
This is very much true. We call it the rhythm of adolescence, but most of our culture and most of the world is stuck in the rhythm of chaos. And we can see that pretty clearly.
That
We've
through,
got a lot of belief
yeah.
systems, shoulds, shouldn'ts, righteousness, wrongness. There's one way, my way, your way. It's a fight.
So yeah. So when that's happening, like through, you know, through our culture, through our relationships, that's because there's some internal fighting going on within us between our masculine and feminine?
That's one of the principles that the dance goes on. In the actual dance of chaos, we work with the shamanic back and forth on your feet from your left hemisphere of your brain to your right till you shake it up. And the idea is if you dance faster than you think, eventually you'll have to let go and surrender into your body rather than your mind.
Mm.
And sometimes if you physically can't dance fast, you know, if you're injured or have other body things, you can just sit and shake and release in other ways with your breath, with your fingers, with your elbows, with your belly, and just let go of your mind.
Okay, so we have three of the five rhythms. That was chaos. Tell us about the next one.
Rhythm number four.
Rhythm number four.
So in theory, the next rhythm is lyrical. And I'm joking when I say in theory, because a lot of people never get through a lifetime of getting past chaos in their development. Mm. But in the dance, at a certain point, so chaos is when it peaks and you hear all that like wild, fast-paced music. And you're sweating and you're releasing. And then lyrical starts up and the music changes and it opens to, the idea is to be able to have your wings open and also have your roots. So you have the wisdom of knowing how to lighten yourself, how to feel the air, how to feel the, almost the enlightened awareness that we're all one, that we all go through these human struggles, through these body struggles, through these mental struggles, through these heart struggles. And we hit this point where we're like, okay, well, we're in this together. And the idea of lyrical is to come into your own authenticity and to be able to shape shift and adapt to any given moment. So if I'm interacting with one person and one scenario, I can embrace that, see that, which is a reflection of myself, and then move to the next without a lot of reactivity. And that goes with, like, a lot of people don't like to dance to different kinds of music because they're really attached to one thing. When you hit the stage of lyrical, you can befriend every face, every style of music. Mm. There's something to love in it all because it's an aspect of humanity.
And of the self, right? It's like you're learning to accept and love yourself through these movements, through these steps.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And it's much easier to accept other people once you accept yourself. Right.
That is essential. It's pretty much the golden rule. Yeah. So that's the lyrical form. And
the last one is stillness.
And so from lyrical, the music naturally goes in an arc of a wave. So staccato peaks and lyrical comes back down. And stillness, the music is slower, and it's an invitation into our breath, into that which is beyond almost our, like, human personalities or even our soul identifications, but it's that which is holding us or guiding us. And different people have different beliefs about what that is. Some people don't believe in anything, and so it's the emptiness. It's the vast experience of being present. Other people might feel their ancestors or angels or guides or just literally nature itself holding us. But it's an invitation to the prayer for all of us, that, you know, to a prayerful way of being in the stillness. And we move with that.
So you just used the word wave.
Wave, yes.
So how does wave relate to five rhythms?
So a wave, it's funny, you know, in a lot of the ecstatic dance movements that you hear right now, the DJs have learned to move their music through a wave. It's you know, when you write a story, it's the same thing. It'll start the plot, it'll crescendo at a certain point and come back down. So it's like the ocean, you know, you go out and the waves start to churn, and then it gets really crazy and it peaks, and then it sails back out and back to the land and back in. It's a natural rhythm. In making love, we have that same rhythm. There's so many different ways that the wave shows up in our lives. In giving birth, there's a wave. So it's a natural format, and the music takes you through that format. So it's a very organic process that the body goes through when it dances through it.
So the wave in five rhythms starts with like a little bit of flowing, and then starts flowing, and then it builds to staccato, and then it peaks at chaos.
Yes.
And then it starts to get quieter again with lyrical, and then ends in the silence and the stillness.
And then it doesn't really end, because then it slowly builds again.
Because it's flowing. A wave.
Because it keeps going. And I like to say, until we're out of these bodies, we're in that wave. We're in this constant listening to what part of the wave we're in.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It brings to mind, Julian and I were listening to a relationship book that we like a lot. Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. He hates the name, but likes the content. And it talks about how, if anybody who's listening who's read it, know that men go into their cave and things like that. And men have, talk about which direction they go, and then versus women?
Supposedly, the male psyche goes close to further away, and this ebb and flow,
like in and out.
Intimate and closed off. But a woman comes in waves up and down instead of back and forth.
Hmm.
And to acknowledge that cycle for what it is, and rather than expect either parties to be, you know, any form of stasis, you know, not coming or going and not going up or down, you know, is kind of foolish, you know. So I got a brief question. You've worked with the five rhythms so long.
Yeah.
At this point, do you have any, like, auxiliary rhythms, a sixth rhythm, a sub clause to three. You know, like, have you been inspired to expand on the concepts in the time that you've worked with them?
Absolutely, in many different ways. I think that, I mean, the five rhythms are great. I think Gabriel did a fantastic job of, like, really catching a general theme. And the fact is we all have different dances within. I mean, within every flowing, there's a flowing, a flowing staccato, a flowing chaos, a flowing lyrical, and a flowing stillness. Within staccato, there's a staccato flow, a staccato, a staccato chaos. Mm. So, I mean, there's, you can see that even within any rhythm, there's a building and a releasing through the rhythm. And also, everyone's bodies and dances are different. So there's tons of different tempos that we can categorize and put. The music doesn't really stay stasis in any one spot. So as a musician, I'm sure you're wondering, well, like, there's got to be more beats than that. And there are. It's not like there's just five kinds of music whatsoever. I mean, when I make a wave as a DJ, I play all sorts of things with all different kinds of tempos and styles. And so there's infinite rhythms within the five rhythms.
And, you know, like, in your classes.
Sophia and Emily, I have some questions.
I was totally just going to hit on you next.
Jump right in there.
Yeah. Okay.
So you talked a little bit about what the five rhythms is. Can you kind of give our listeners, like, what that setup kind of looks like when they're walking into it? Like, how long that wave typically lasts? Sort of what they're, you know, do people have to be a dancer to be into this?
Like, Thank you. Those are great questions. So we have a few different options in Chico.
The music, talking more about the music you play.
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of, like, the people in the surrounding areas that are listening, there's a few options of where you can come and practice these things right now that are close by. Every Sunday, myself and three other DJs come together and we put on the Soul Shake Dance at the Dorothy Johnson Center. And in that format, all ages, shapes, sizes, health states, anyone is welcome. You can sit and meditate the whole time if you need to. Whatever you need to do is really okay. It's a large space.
So you don't have to be a dancer.
You don't have to be a dancer.
It's called dance, but it's not.
The idea is, well, it's a dance, but it's moving. It's moving however you need to move that's authentic through it. And so it's really an opportunity for authentic movement, authentic breathing, authentic releasing of emotions. Some people come in and just have a blast. It's just super fun and super high. Other people come in and they sob. Other people come in and they barely move. I've seen people come and just sit against the wall and meditate and have profound tears coming through just watching so many people free up. And what's neat is it's not trendy. You don't have to be any one style or type of person to be there.
And you don't have to be a good dancer.
No, we're united by music and we're united by breath and we're united by the fact that we're all humans in bodies working through this stuff together.
Yeah. So you mentioned it's Sunday mornings, and what's kind of like the general format of the Sunday morning?
So Sunday morning, there's a warm-up from 10 to 10:25 where people can come and stretch. And then there's an opening circle about 10:25. There's a dance wave for an hour and a half till noon, and a closing circle after that for about 15 minutes with community announcements. And you are welcome to come or go as you please at that. I also teach a very in-depth course, which is really where the heart of the work comes in. And Lorna, who's sitting here with me, who's taken my course over 40-something times, and it's a 12-week committed class where you work 2 to 2.5 hours or 3 hours per week with, a you know, 20, 24 people in my studio. That's where you really get the heart of the medicine, because we really go into each theme in depth. So if you really want to have a transformation that's embodied, I mean, I've worked as a counselor and I do that, and I can tell you that the fastest way to healing is when it's also embodied, not just from the mind, but when it's taken into the body.
I second that, which is why we're here talking about this stuff.
Emily also has participated, and so have you.
Yeah. Oh, you second it too, Tammy?
Yes.
Or you third it or something?
I third it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I trained as a therapist. I have my master's in counseling psychology, and I have many, many other trainings. And once I found this medicine, I just started integrating so much more into it, because it has such vast healing potential.
Yes. You know, one of the things, a phrase that goes through my mind that is essential to healing is moving out of the head and into the heart. And I believe the body is a conduit for doing that.
Yes. Absolutely. Could we hear maybe a little bit from Lorna and maybe her?
You keep jumping where I'm going next. This is good.
That was all three of us there. I'm touching her hand over here going, your turn.
All right, Lorna, tell us about what your experiences have been with this work and with any other work that involves the body as a conduit for love.
Yeah, well, we are here with bodies, right? All of us that are here.
Indeed.
Get to work through this body. And one beautiful thing about the five rhythms is it will naturally, the five rhythms is such an organic process, as Jasiya was saying, that as long as we just surrender to the practice and that process, we will go all the way through whatever it is that we're working on or that needs to be freed up in our body and come back to a place of more clarity, more presence with ourselves. And really, that's why one reason why it's called ecstatic dance, a sense of ecstasy. The ecstasy of being in the body rather than the agony that we sometimes experience of being in the body when things aren't quite right. So the five rhythms practice is such a beautiful practice, an embodiment practice that is so helpful for all of us as human beings, I think, no matter what. And sometimes we can bring an intention for healing or something that we're working on into the practice without intention, and they're just surrender to the practice of the five rhythms, that process with the music and the guidance, and come to epiphanies about solutions for those issues that come up.
Yeah, I remember the first time I took Jasiya's class, I went through it three times in a row. So it was about a year total, basically, back to back, of going through these waves. And it was incredibly transformative. I was actually doing the 365 days of celibacy, which is how I first ended up on this show. I was doing that during the first time I took Jasiya's class. And I remember every class after that, I recommending at the beginning of the class to all the students to journal, to take notes about your processes that occur through each class, because each class it brings up so many different things. The music and the movement bring out different, like you were talking about, the feminine, the masculine, the integration, the oneness. These each rhythm offers so much to the personal transformation that when you begin the class, you might bring in an intention of something you want to process, and by the end of it, like, I couldn't even remember what my initial intention was the first time I took it. So having halfway through the course started taking notes and stuff, I was able to go back and be like, whoa, these were really powerful lessons I was going through, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
much can shift, and mm-hmm. that's the point, is to move it.
One of the things I really wanted to just name about self-love and the body is that we come into these bodies and we are not given instruction manuals, and our culture literally takes us away in every way. It tells us to get in line, follow these things, and it gets you thinking and it gets you overstimulated and not noticing actually what is within you. And one of the things that I'm really aware of is that your body is constantly taking in your experiences, and they're in your cells. And what I do in the practice, besides the wave, is we actually work to really learn to listen to our body parts. And there's a practice I teach called the body part practice, which invites you to completely listen. And miracles have happened just in a 5-minute listening per body part. I've had people report complete transformation, as well as myself, of releases of tension just by literally giving it attention, understanding, asking, and listening how it needed to move, what was it carrying emotionally, what images, what feelings, what beliefs, and then releasing them. And it's such a simple thing if we could just be kind to ourselves, kind enough to care. Sometimes we don't want to care. We're angry at ourselves if there's pain.
So, like, can you give our listeners an example of what it means to listen to a body part? Like, what do you mean by that?
Well, I wish you could be in the studio so I could jump off on and kind of show you. But really, if you just start to move it.
Move it like your fingers?
For instance, right now, I started to work with my hands and fingers. And I just start to notice what feels good, turn on some music, and literally ask how it wants to move. Sometimes it's got anger in it, and it's going to want to pound. Sometimes it's going to want to, like, break free of things. You might want to make those motions or shake something out because your hands have been tense all day. Sometimes it's going to want to give yourself a hug because no one else has. Sometimes it's going to want to rub your head or just put its own hands together and touch themselves, because just kind of an honoring of, wow, what these hands have done. But literally just taking each body part and saying, what do you need now? Is like inviting in whatever the memories that are getting put into your body every moment of your day and saying, here, I'm going to listen to you now, and take some time and make some space to be in dialogue with you. And we need to hear ourselves before we can hear others. And we're so taught to listen out there and do all the things out there that we miss ourselves, and then we develop all sorts of symptoms.
You know what it brings to mind is I think we need to get curious. You know, it's about getting curious about yourself, like what's going on physically, mentally, spiritually, and all of it together.
Exactly.
Yeah. So getting curious about your fingers. What are they up to today? Mm. What have they been doing? I mean, seriously, take a minute, look at your fingers and ask them what's up. Like, what would you want, fingers? I mean, come on, how often do we do that? How often do we just stop and say what's up to the hands that do so much to us, for us, right?
Yeah, mine are responding to yours. I'm like, Emily, ask that question.
She's
mine
raising
like,
the roof over
going,
here.
Yeah, everybody do that. Thank you. They're like, praise that thought. Yeah.
That's good.
Where do the five rhythms border things like martial arts and working out and tests of physical endurance and things like that?
Well, the practice itself isn't so much made as a commitment to your physicality, but the truth is that if you get into the practice, you will become much stronger and energized and vital just by, you know, really entering and engaging with your body. There's nowhere to get to except to yourself. So unlike systems which have you evaluating and getting higher and higher in, like, you know, getting your karate belts or which are wonderful systems as well. This invites you to get yourself. As far as physical workout, you can get an incredible workout from dancing. In fact, you know, see all these Facebook posts, you know, dancing makes you smarter than most things. It helps with Alzheimer's. I mean, there's like 100 things, reasons to promote dancing. I've seen, you know, these incredible videos of people with, you know, all sorts of physical illnesses opening to dance and having incredible results compared to other sports. And I think a lot of that is because there's the invitation specifically in the five rhythms as opposed to some structural dances which say you need to move in this way. Mm-hmm. The only thing that it will ask you to do is to tune into a certain part of your body in a certain rhythm. But within that, you're free to find what needs to move. So it's quite different.
Having seen, you know, a wide spectrum of people using this method over years, from an objective perspective, what kind of themes have you noticed? Do younger people dance a certain way, older people? Are men more inclined to dance a certain way, or women? You know, what kind of themes have you noticed?
That's a fun question. I have a lot of thoughts romping around. Give me a moment. I will answer. And Lorna, I invite you to jump in because you've been witnessing too. One thing I can say, I mean, just observing myself, is when I was in my 20s dancing, when you saw me dancing chaos, I was off the ground. I mean, I never landed. I was so high.
I could so see that.
Free. Yeah. And I still have some of that in me, but there's a lot more groundedness as I age and as I really connect with myself. But it's also very true. There's this uprising of energy in your 20s. It's just like, woo! You know, although now with the more like bass movement, I'm seeing the kids in their 20s way down and rooted. It's like a different generation happening, and they're like earthy and funky and way down.
Interesting.
So part of that is also generational. You know, my generation being in my 40s had a different vibration going through the music. So
that's fascinating.
And I'd love to speak to kind of the other side of that, which is I've danced the five rhythms, as Jessia has, in all different parts of the world. And what's really beautiful is these sort of natural movements that we all have as human beings that are universal show up whenever they need to show up, however they need to show up in the process of the dance. So whether I'm just recently down in the Bay Area with a big group of dancers, or in Singapore, or in Australia, in Sydney, Australia, Southern California, various places. I've been Omaha, Nebraska, conservative city, right? There's just this sense of freedom to move. That's a universal beauty in each of the rhythms in different ways. And so the pattern is really interesting. I just see that it's a universal pattern of possibility for everyone all over the world, where we can connect with no matter what language, the body language can make a deep, powerful, profound, authentic connection with each other through the process. So rather than be in any one format or rhythm or a pattern that seems to just be that, it's this amazing connection to the universal all over the world.
That's so beautiful. Tammy, did you want to jump in there?
I do. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You're picking it up. Picking up the wavelength there.
Yeah.
So, Jossia, I was wondering if you have noticed maybe some connection. We talked with Bill Groschner, or I'm not sure that's how you say
it. Bill Gokenauer.
Yes, thank you. Last week, about energy bodies and chakras.
Yes.
And healing that. I'm wondering if you have seen in your own practice and with teaching others the five rhythms, a connection between certain restrictions in body parts in relation to maybe some other emotional or energetic traumas that they experience.
I have absolutely seen that. And I think particularly in the kind of class I teach where we go much more in depth, you know, in the quick wave at Soul Shake, people might touch a few things, but there isn't as much invitation to really, really sort that through, although a lot of people come with that information. But yes, our bodies are carrying incredible emotional experiences, and we unpack them there. And so, yes, I would say that we start to tune into And I work with the chakras actually in my classes at different times. We start to tune into, you know, in our staccato, that has a lot of it has to do with, you know, not only our heart chakra, but the information we've been given in all of our lower chakras, our second chakra with our sensuality and our emotions, our third chakra with our will, our hearts. And so we start to unpack, and certain people who have been traumatized or unsupported in opening certain areas of themselves, when they practice certain rhythms, they're really challenged by them. Like certain people get really stuck in staccato, and other people will get stuck in flow. They don't know how to be grounded and stay with themselves. They want to jump out, and that's connected to other wounds or in chaos. You know, they can't even be present because they're so in their minds and they've jumped so far out of their bodies. And so, yes, did that answer? There's a lot of ways to answer.
Absolutely. So there's generally some challenges, you know, emotionally or energetically that are going on for people, of reasons that maybe their movement, their physical movement is limited in dancing or in general.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've witnessed, for those people who have been really committed to the practice, I've witnessed people heal injuries in very, very different alternative ways just simply by being with it, including myself, honoring my injury, listening to it, getting information. It's taken me right into the, you know, heart of breakups and grief processes that have been stuck. And then when I finally get to the emotional material, it releases. And because it will build up until my body's hurting, and then my body's like, oh, there's something to listen to here. And when I unwind it, it's not just a physical thing, but there's something that I need to release. And then once released, it changed.
Yeah. So if you couldn't tell, we are talking about love and the body. And I feel like, Jasia, you just nailed the hammer on... Wait, the nail on the... Okay, wait. Hit the nail on the head with the hammer.
Acupressure point.
Nailed
exactly.
It.
Yeah, right.
Acupuncture the pressure point.
Yeah, I mean, that was perfect. It totally summed up how one uses the body to reconnect with love and with the self.
Yeah. There's so much about being tender to yourself, and it's vulnerable to actually feel what's going on in there. And so our bodies will harden and tighten and do all sorts of postures because that's protective. And there's a vulnerability in actually opening it up, but it also allows for a transformation.
So we're talking with Jasia Kornwise, and you can find more about her everything at www.rhythmsofacceptance.com. Except for it's acceptance.
Acceptance.
Oh, it's acceptance. Okay.
Acceptance.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a cool name,
I did
though.
Do acceptance with my first series, and then
that was awesome.
It's the arc. It's
Rhythm
the arc
of Accept Dance.
Yeah.
That's so creative. I love it.
I have a question for you, Jasia, in terms of the community and
Tammy.
How you sort of...
Tammy.
Shaped, yeah.
Where can we save it? Because Jim Hightower has something he wants to say.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll be back in a moment after Jim Hightower speaks his piece.
Peter Georgescu has a message he wants America's corporate and political elites to hear. I'm scared, he said in a recent New York Times op-ed. He adds that Paul Tudor Jones is scared too, as is Ken Langone, and they're trying to get the powers that be to pay attention to their urgent concerns. But wait, these three are powers that be. Georgescu is a former head of Young and Rubicam, one of the world's largest PR and advertising firms. Jones is a quadruple billionaire hedge fund operator, and Langone is a founder of Home Depot. What's scaring these powerful peers of the corporate plutocracy? Inequality. Yes, amazingly, these actual occupiers of Wall Street say they share Occupy Wall Street's critical analysis of America's widening chasm between the rich and the rest of us. We are creating a caste system from which it is almost impossible to escape, Georgescu wrote, not only trapping the poor, but also those on the higher end of the middle class. Of course, their concern is not driven by moral outrage, but by self-interest. We are concerned where income inequality will lead, he said. Specifically, he warned that the present path will lead to social unrest or, horror of horrors, oppressive taxes on the super rich. Motivation aside, Georgia Skew does comprehend that society must, quote, invest in the actual value creators, the employees. How? With a wage that enables employees to share amply in productivity increases. He adds that nearly all corporate chieftains agree on the need to compensate employees better. This is Jim Hightower saying, great, so they'll just do it, right? No. The CEOs say that to get them to pay more to workers, they need the government to, guess what, give tax breaks to their corporations to subsidize any wage increases. These guys put the sin in cynical.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
And we're back with Love in the 21st Century. That's the name of the show, Love in the 21st Century. Today we are talking about love and the body with Jossia Kornwise and her Five Rhythms Dance and Laura Kingdom. And Lorna has done the Five Rhythms experience over 30 times. And
40.
40 times. 40. Over 40 times. I'm hard to have a hard time keeping track here.
I just love it.
And Jossia has been teaching for 20 plus years. So these women are incredibly knowledgeable when it comes to the topic matter, which is using the body as a conduit for reconnecting with self-love and self-acceptance and love overall. And before we hopped into Jim Hightower's speech there, Tammy had a question. Our host Tammy is on the line here, traveling many distances through the phone to be with us here today. So Tammy, what was it that you had a question about?
Thank you, yes. So my question was about the community. So Jossia, you mentioned that you've been leading the Five Rhythms practice in the Chico area for 15 years, right?
Yes.
And so I'm wondering what your perspective and how it's how the community itself for dance, for the dance has grown, and if you've witnessed any, you know, metamorphosis in the community.
Yeah. Well, gosh, when I got here, I started my Tuesday night dance sanctuaries, and I was like, okay, you know that old Field of Dreams, you build it, they will come. So I would sit there in my empty studio with myself and my friend, Sarah Wells, would come. And then I think probably Malama McNeil, there's a few of us would come, one or two of us, and we would dance. And each week we'd get more and more people till eventually I had enough people to be like, all right, it's time to get a class going. And so it's been a progressive thing where, you know, very slow numbers, and it took quite a few years before we really felt the pull to open to the Sunday Soul Shake. So it really speaks to, you have to really believe in your own work, and it's a practice I'm not doing to get other people to come to, but it's a practice I do no matter what, whether there are two people in my studio or 20 people, or whether we're at the dance on Sunday with, you know, 30 people or 100 people, it's the practice that moves me, and so that's why I do it. And I think a lot of people have found that passion for it as well, and it has gotten larger and larger through the years. I think more and more people have spread the word, and it's people of all different ages and ethnic backgrounds and belief systems. It doesn't seem to be a problem because it's such an embodied practice, and it's not about words. It's about really being with yourself and with others in a honoring, safe space.
And true to yourself and your own beliefs. Yeah. And I think there have been over 100 sometimes on Sundays at the Soul Shake Dance Church in the mornings.
Yes.
And that, I was actually just going to direct redirect the question to talking about the evolution of Soul Shake and that offering. What year did you start offering that, and how has that evolved community-wise?
We started offering that 6 years ago. There's a push for it probably for a good... probably 10 years, but we didn't quite have the right people to head that and hold that. And people kept saying, well, you do it every Sunday in a bigger space, but I didn't feel like I could hold that field and commit every single weekend. So a troop of us came together with two people who aren't doing it with us, but we're a big part of the original format with Sonia Sophia and Earth Ashanti, and myself and Carisha Longacre and Sarah Nottingham Amuse and Luke Anderson. And now it is the four of us. We rotate, so we each lead one of the dances once a month. And really enjoy that practice.
I just know that you know, the occasions that I go and that you are the DJ, I know that at the end circle you're always recognizing the gratitude for how many people show up regularly to that practice now.
Yeah.
So that must have gone also from a smaller number to a larger number now.
Yeah, I really feel that somehow I got pulled to the Chico area and didn't know a soul here. And I really believe Spirit wanted me to bring this work to this area. There's no other reason I'm here. It's like that's what this area was asking for, and it has received it really well.
I know my spirit was, for sure, because I had already danced Gabrielle's work, The Five Rhythms, previously on video, you know, the old videos of her leading the work. And then when Jasia showed up and I discovered that she was here, it's like, oh.
After taking your class, Jasia, I recommended it, you know, left and right, and I recommended it to people that did not live here. And so I started to research where else this could be, you know, found in other places to hook people up who I know would benefit from the work. And, you know, I actually, like, you know, I had a friend, I think, in Reno or something, and I looked there, and I couldn't really find anything there. And I'm like, but either way, you got to come take Jasia's class, because it's the way she does it. It's really powerful.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
It's really wonderful. And it has a really wonderful way of building community. And with a way in which you can just truly, we can be ourselves in the presence of others and feel deeply accepted and deeply loved, not only by ourselves, but by others.
Well, that's where
remember
we met.
Remember that?
That's where we met.
I know. And we're in love.
Yes, absolutely.
In love. That's what happens.
I had a question for you.
Yeah.
So my question was how you've seen the five rhythms change for you in your own personal experience from your first class to now your 40th. Like, what keeps you coming back?
What keeps me coming back? I love the practice. It really works. You know, like the 12 steps or whatever, it works when you work it. Well, this five rhythms, 12 classes in the series of the five rhythms practice really works and builds community. And so I love to meet more and more people that are invested in living their lives in that way, our lives in an authentic, present, loving way, and clearing whatever needs to be cleared so we are more of an inspiration to our community and to ourselves and to our children, our elders, and so on. And in the stress that we deal with in daily life just by nature, to be able to have a practice that really works in the body and helps free us is just a blessing. So I just keep doing it because I love it.
Do you feel that the dance gets deeper as you deepen with the practice?
I would always say that we get deeper and more clear as we go, no matter what practice it is. And this practice is especially profound in that because it is body-centered. So it's not just in our head. It's not just in our thinking. It really resonates throughout our entire body. So it helps free our body. I've experienced stress sometimes in a way in which it's like a hologram of whatever came in at that time, and it sort of appears as a hologram that is releasing, and it's on a physiological cellular level. And as we release more and more of those, how can we not be more tuned into the depth of who we are and the freedom that we can experience as ourselves?
That actually reminds me of last week, Bill Gokenauer was talking about the importance of grounding.
I love Bill.
Yeah,
he's so
great.
Right?
I love Bill too.
Yeah, that was an awesome show. He just went, you know, it was great. But so he was talking a lot about the importance of grounding, and how would you say, you know, the energy of grounding is affected in this practice?
It is ground. It is sacred ground. This practice has grounded my life consistently. I come to it. It is the floor. It's the earth of my being. Mm. It takes you so clearly into the center. I go through my practice and I am home. Sometimes hopefully I start when I'm home, but certainly no matter what, it's like it's a direct orienter into the ground of your being, into the ground of your body, into the ground of your heart, to the ground of your higher information coming through.
It's your roots, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's so beautiful too because it integrates the extreme ends of who we are, so to speak, the infinite that we are, the I am that we are, in a sense, with being in the body, love,
exactly.
Expanded, in the body, right here in this form that we're in.
Love that.
So it integrates both so fully in a very grounded way because that's what the body is. It's here. grounded.
It's an invitation to experience the many paradoxes.
Paradoxical.
Nature of spirituality, right? The we are bigger than our bodies, and yet we are our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to experience that paradox, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I can't help but, you know, envision that somebody at home is listening and just getting inspired, and they can't wait to hit play on the boombox and do some, like, risky business, Tom Cruise, slide across the floor.
Yeah!
You know, so how can people, like, go rogue or, like, kind of prepare themselves, you know, on their own? Maybe they're nervous. They don't want to go out and, you know, be totally free in front of strangers. You know, but, you know, say I'm average Joe or Jane sitting at home.
If they're really inspired, they can show up at the Satori Studio tonight at 6:40, because only a few of us go and practice and come dance. But actually, there, you know, Gabriel Roth has videos like Lorna started with. You could get a video YouTube, and put it on your TV. I've got a YouTube video actually on my website with some clips from my class. You can kind of get a feel that way.
That's great. That's a great resource.
And also what she mentioned earlier about tuning into your body, each of the body parts.
Exactly.
Just notice, how's my neck and head feeling? How are my arms and fingers and hands feeling? How's my core doing? How are my legs and knees doing? My feet, my elbows, you know, let me just get into where is my body right now and just let them move and see what shows up. So I invite everyone to do that right now if you'd like.
And I want to say that something that maybe wasn't mentioned before, Jesse, and maybe talk a little bit about it before. There are some ground rules that happen at Soul Shake.
Yes.
So somebody that may not be feeling confident about being in public, it's one of the most safest spaces that you can be in when dancing. And from my own personal experience, it took me a while to get to dance church, as I like to call it, and others do too, that once I was there, I was like, why have I not been going to this every opportunity that I could have? It's a really great release. So maybe you could talk a bit really quickly, Jesse, about what those kind of ground rules are for the space when people show up.
Just a real quick note. Everybody's in here nodding. Everybody that's been to dance church was nodding to you, Tammy. Yes, everybody's like, why didn't I go sooner? Why haven't I tried this sooner? It's amazing.
Yeah, so we create a space that there's no talking when you enter the room. So it's not a chit-chat. There's no social pressure that you need to, like, you need to know people or not know people. No one's going to be talking to each other, except the only voicings that come out are through, like, exhilarated screams or moans on the dance floor outside of the opening and closing circle. It's a space where we ask people to come in sober. We ask people to come in present. We create an opening and closing circle for a reason, where we, you know, really create a field of trust. You don't have to dance. No one's going to touch you without asking. People understand if you're wanting to dance in your own experience, you can just simply, like, put your arms together and bow to the person in front of you if they're not quite reading your verbal signals, and say, you know, I want my space. That, or you can totally play with people, because some people are totally ready to get down and boogie and have fun together. All of it's accepted. And
it's a very respectful space. People are very respectful of each other.
I close my eyes sometimes, you know, because to get in my body and have not anybody really approach me, you know, that way.
That was what I wanted to add, is that a lot of people do actually close their eyes, and the personal space is a really important thing. Like, it's very common to walk in the room and see people dancing, like, in their own space.
Absolutely.
You know, uninterrupted by other people, because everybody that comes there knows that you're there to physically release in your body. And if you want to dance with others, you know, you're going to make that, you know, clear in your body language. No one's going to invade your space. And I think that's a really special and sacred thing that is allowed in the ecstatic dance space, which is not something that you typically experience when you're going out into public.
Not necessarily even in every ecstatic dance that I've been to. We definitely here in Chico have created a very safe space with a lot of intention around consciousness and safety.
Some listeners, maybe a small percentage, maybe a large percentage, are maybe unconsciously comparing, you know, and having not been to dance church, to something like unconditional dance at Harbin Hot Springs and stuff like that. So what's different?
Actually, that was kind of, I was going to ask that too. I hear the term ecstatic dance a lot, and I feel like that's different than the five rhythms. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to know more about that.
Yeah. So the five rhythms, so ecstatic dance, you know, it's everyone's ecstatic dance is different. So it's a hard thing to even categorize anymore because there's so many different, it depends on the facilitator and the space and the community. Five rhythms itself is a very based wave, and our soul shakes are based on a five rhythm format. So it will naturally take you through those rhythms. So you can be guaranteed that you'll start slow, you'll build up, you'll peak, and you'll come down. Some ecstatic dances will not do that. They'll just be at one pace the whole time or vary one or two tempos. So that's one difference. We also have a very set framework around the field, which I don't always see at ecstatic dance. We start together and we end together and we have an intent. There are some ecstatic dances that hold that totally beautifully and gracefully. And some people would say that ours is an ecstatic dance. So the term has gotten flipped around quite a bit.
I think what I think of, I haven't experienced any other kinds of dance church or ecstatic dance experiences at all. But when I think of the term ecstatic dance, I think of sort of energy going out, like outward energy. I think of like interacting with people and maybe getting like, involved with other people with the dance. So it's more of like a group dancing kind of together in the same space. Whereas when I think of, and this could be completely wrong, you know, but this is just my interpretation. And when I think of dance church and this and what we do on Sundays, I definitely think of that as an internal practice, and my attention focused inward, and most people there, their attention focused inward as well. Does that seem?
I think that might be true for some people, and I think that could be a way to create the safety. But I know for myself, I wouldn't want to say that Soul Shake is not something that we join in with each other, because it's very much a community celebration too. So sometimes we're really internal, and certain moments we come together with people, and so it's pretty organic flow. But I like what you're saying, just in terms of I think there's an internal intention with the dance church. And I think sometimes the ecstatic dances have been associated with, you know, coming in on some drugs to get high and fly.
So. What are your thoughts on that, Lorna?
I think that coming in, I know I go in with as a practice. It's my practice, and I love to do that. I'm not going in to be social, but I might end up social because it can be completely opening to some social interaction, and that can come in and out. So in that practice of being in these five rhythms, just as in nature, as in being in community, everything, if we could look at everything as that five rhythm experience, then we'll see ourselves sometimes feeling internal, other times feeling external, and sometimes feeling social, and sometimes feeling like we want to come back to the self and just be within. So it really vacillates within just even the experience of the five rhythms. But I think what's most important for everyone to know is that the safe space is created to really honor oneself and whatever is coming up in that moment, so that there's not a sense of invasiveness that I see happening in our environment of Soul Shake Dance Church, for example.
I would definitely concur with that. Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly safe space. And again, you don't actually have to know how to dance or dance well.
Right.
You just need to have a body.
Right.
You know, to be there. Mm-hmm. And be willing to allow your body to exist in a space, because you really don't even have to move to experience the Sunday dance church.
Right.
You can sit and meditate, you can do yoga, but even if you do choose to move, you can also allow access to deeper parts of yourself that you might not be connecting with consciously on a daily basis. So I personally highly recommend checking out the Dorothy Johnson Center on Sundays at 10.
And just a brief month since we're closing, that I do have the 12-week series is starting in 2 weeks, so this is the perfect time to contact me. I'm happy to talk on the phone and just really get a sense of if it's right for you and share more about it. But I have enrollment happening for a Wednesday evening course and possibly a Thursday morning course, beginning the classes start September, I think it's 14th and 15th, but we're hoping to have enrollment finished by the beginning of the end of August. So
okay, yeah, I'd actually like to talk about that for a moment here. So far you've mentioned that, I mean, we've talked a lot about the Sunday Dance Church, which starts at 10 at the Dorothy Johnson Center on Sundays, and that is $10.
This Sunday, it won't be at the Dorothy Johnson, just so you know, this Sunday is the one Sunday where it's going to be at the Card Center, because the Dorothy Johnson Center has a cleaning once a year.
Oh.
So we'll be at the Card Center where we do Pancakes for Peace on, I think it's like 445 Vallambrosa, just so you know, and I'll be DJ this Sunday there.
Okay.
And then after that, Dorothy Johnson Center forevermore till the next year.
Okay, great. And then tonight you have
a drop-in on Tuesday nights at the Satori Center
at 6:40. So if you want to get a taste of all of what what we've been talking about, go to the Satori Healing Center at 6:40 tonight.
On Palmetto,
yes, definitely. For all of this information, you can go to www.rhythmsofacceptance.com to learn more about Jossia Kornwise and all that she offers. And again, she is offering a 12-week dance series called Five Rhythms Dance. And that's beginning in just a couple weeks here. And registration is closing soon. So if you want to know more, again, go to rhythmsofacceptance.com or contact Jossia directly. Do you want to share your information?
Sure. 570-4399.
Okay, you can call her and she will talk with you about the fit for the class. And that's a Wednesday night class, and I personally highly recommend it.
Ditto that.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
I feel like every single person on earth should take right. that class. At least.
Jossia, would you mind repeating that number one more time?
Sure. Area code 530-570-4399.
And that's Jossia Kornwise at Rhythms of Acceptance. acceptance.com. And before we hop off here, I was wondering, Jossia, if you could bring to mind, take a minute to think about maybe a practice that you could give our listeners to do at home that would connect them through the body more deeply with themselves.
Mm-hmm. The invitation would be to put on a piece of music and to ask and isolate different parts of your body and just spend a little time moving the body parts consciously, seeing all the different ways they want to move and just seeing any images that come up, any feelings that come up with them, witnessing them, maybe exaggerating it and really taking it further. If there's something you need to release, allowing it to go and just going through each body part with some music and just allowing that to happen. And be sure to take a deep breath between each one and to acknowledge, maybe write down what you noticed or to say it out loud. And just to go through those body parts and to start to ground right into what's here.
Mm. Thank you so much. And Tammy, thank you for hopping on the line and being here with us today.
My pleasure.
And we have been here with Jossia Kornwise and Lorna Kingdom. And it has been an amazing conversation about love and the body. And to kick off Ecotopia, we are going to be playing Island Area's Show Yourself. Jossia, would you like to talk about why you picked this song?
It's just a great song in the sense that she is saying a lot of times people look at dancers and people dancing and they think that they're trying to show off. And I think a lot of people have this story of, oh, if I'm being sensual or I'm being alive in my body, I'm wanting attention. And in this song, she has this fierce call to say, I show myself to know myself. I embody myself to be with me. I'm not doing this dance for you. I'm doing this dance for me.
Mm. Beautiful.
And that's what love's got to do with it from the beginning.
Yes.
That's what love's got to do with it.
Wow. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for being here. Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, absolutely.
It was great fun.
Awesome. Super fun.
I hope all of you out there will really think about coming to this practice and giving yourself that gift.
Well, thanks, Lorna. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Emily. Thanks, Julianne. Thanks, Tammy. Yeah.
And again, you can check out Jossia's work on rhythmsofacceptance.com. And this was Love in the 21st Century, brought to you by 90.1 KZFR.
Sweet somethings to the one you are saving. You're or not.